And take it away, Adinga. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is a Designed for Living Big Book meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. My name is Adinga, and I am a compulsive eater and your chairperson today. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation, followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. We start this meeting by remembering our common purpose, to extend the heart and hand to the OA fellowship, of the OA fellowship to those who still suffer. Let us be mindful of OA's unity with diversity policy, which respects our differences, yet unites us in the solution to our common problem. Whatever problem you may have with food, you are welcome at this meeting. Today, we're delighted to have Carol T. joining us to share her experience, strength, and hope, focused on traditions 5 and 6. Tradition 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Tradition 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. This meeting is being recorded. I would now like to welcome Carol T. to the group to share on her experience with Tradition 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Welcome, Carol.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'm so glad to be here. And I am Carol T. from Memphis, Tennessee, and I am a compulsive overeater living in the solution. And a little bit about myself before I get into Tradition 5. I still need to work on that character defect of perfectionism. So even though I had to juggle a lot of things this week, part of me says, oh, I want to be perfect. And so I started doing research on Tradition 5 and Tradition 6. And my higher power spoke to me and said, Carol, you'll never be perfect. So forget that. You're living in the solution. And in order to live in the solution, you have to live the principles of the traditions and the steps and use the tools. So I'm living in the solution. I'm living in the traditions. And so I don't know what's going to come out today, but hopefully there's a message that we can all learn from. But anyway, part of the answer was right before my eyes. I mark in books, and I do a lot of reading out of the OA 12 and 12. And I don't know what year I underlined this passage, but it's on Tradition 5. And to always remind us that I'm speaking today on each group has one primary purpose, to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, and the principle is purpose. And what I'm reading from that I have underlined, and I'll be quick, is one important reason we stick to our primary purpose in OA meetings is our groups can help us practice the 12 steps. Experience has shown we cannot keep the precious gift of our own recovery unless we give recovery away by sharing OA message. When we focus our discussion on the principles embodied in the 12 steps and 12 traditions, when we share how we found the solution to our eating problems through practicing these principles, we discover that we carry the message to those who still suffer and to ourselves as well. No matter how much recovery we have, we still need to hear the OA message. Every time we offer our experience, strength, and hope to the still suffering compulsive eater, We give back what we have been given and thus continue the flow of healing power that fosters our own recovery. And as I said, it was right before my eyes because sometimes I forget. I'm a senior, so but I forget that the primary purpose is to share the message. And giving a little bit about my experience, strength, and hope, I came into OA January 25th, 2006. I would love to say I was struck abstinence, but I wasn't. Didn't get become abstinence until April 11th, 2011. So I have an anniversary coming up. And what happened was, what I know about coming into the rooms, we all have a story. And some stories are depending on the person, but we all have a story. And I, coming into the rooms, I wasn't working the steps or the traditions, knew nothing about the principles. So I just came to lose weight. That's all I wanted. I am grateful to those that are in the rooms, that were in the rooms at the time, because they kept carrying the message. So I kept coming back. I did service the first 5 years, but I still wasn't embracing OA. I was embracing Carol's program. The primary message was to help me. I'm glad. And I say me, which is all of you, because that is the primary purpose of the traditions and of OA as a whole. And what I learned and how I obtained abstinence was I was at a meeting. I was at a meeting, speaker spoke about one of the appendix in Overeaters Anonymous, and I think it was the Brown Book at the time. And I used to think of surrender as a four-letter word. I was never going to surrender. I had a very strong will as a child growing up. My family embraced that. They say Carol's just different. During the time of growing up, I only wanted to lose 20 pounds. Higher power says, I'm gonna teach you a lesson. I moved to Florida, gained 200. Because of the fact, self-will. But getting back to that surrender, that particular night, my higher power spoke to me and said, Carol, you don't trust me. And the truth is, I didn't. Like I said, surrender is a four-letter word. And so I answered, yes, I did, because honesty was not in me. As I told you, I wasn't working the steps, so I wasn't honest. And higher power said, no, you don't. And then I remembered when I was doing undergrad work, I had to take, I took a freshman course, senior year, last semester of college, swimming. This was the winter of 1970, the spring of 1971. And I ran into the instructor and she says, I will give you a C, because how am I going to explain to my parents that I'm not graduating from college because I didn't take swimming? But I was in Pennsylvania, the weather was cold, snow was on the ground, and so I cut the class. Long story short, ran into the instructor. She says, I will give you a C if you dive into the pool. So I went up 28 feet, it's an Olympic-sized pool, and dove into the water. Nice dive, didn't splash, went down deep, came up, couldn't swim a lick. They had to get the pole after me. What was the thought back was, I trusted my higher power was not going to let me drown even though I didn't know how to swim, was not going to let me break my neck or a rib or a leg, even though I didn't know how to dive. But I watched Olympics, so I went ahead and faked it. That was trust. Didn't have trust. Okay. So when my higher power spoke to me and said, you don't have today the same trust that you had back in 1971, I had to be honest. I didn't. I still wanted to do things my way, how I had to do them, when I wanted to do them, and it had nothing to do with the OA program. And so what I've learned, and I learned from that day on, because that was April 11th, 2011, was to trust in my higher power. So things change. I would love to tell you that life was peaches and cream and roses and daisies and things like that. No, but I find that life is life. And what I found and what I know now is my higher power was preparing me for really a difficult time in my life. Difficult meaning that my dad died a couple of years later. My mom had to place her in a nursing home. And I came from a very close-knit family. And I'm the guardian. I'm in Tennessee. She's in Pennsylvania. And the things that I had expected didn't come to fruition. But HP had put me on the right track, and I didn't have to eat over it. The year 2018 was really tough. I lost my mom, my sister, my brother. But higher power was there. Then in 2019, I had two knee replacements. Shocked the doctor so, because of the fact that I had met all the requirements and then didn't have it at the same time, but in less than 6 months had two. So things was really looking up. But my higher power gives me gentle reminders. And the gentle reminder is, Carol, you're not in control. You don't control anything. So therefore, you can do and you can plan and things will happen. After I got my knee replacement, I was going to travel the world because I couldn't while I was guardian for my mom and sister. And I'm fortunate enough to have friends that live all over the world, okay? So I had planned a trip to South Africa. I had a friend in Thailand, all these places. Now the time and the energy to do so. And what happens? The pandemic. I couldn't even go to the corner store. I don't have a corner store, but that's a term from Philadelphia. I couldn't go to the cornerstone because we were all store because we were all in a pandemic. Did I accept it first in the beginning? No. And then I realized my higher power was teaching me a lesson. We can plan and we can hope for the best and I can run it by him. And the one thing is I can still work the OA program. I can still go into the rooms because they developed Zoom, or I didn't know about it, and share my message and my story and hope that through my message and story that it has helped someone, that someone is able to say, and it even reminds me, life is life. And I hear the terms from the big book and I love them, but life is life and I have to accept things on life terms and then I move on. But do I have to eat over it? No. Can I practice the other traditions in my interactions with all of you? Yes. Is it perfect? No. But what I realized, and especially with tradition 5, if we did not have our primary purpose is to have a room where everyone feels safe enough to go to whether or not they share or not. I used to think, well, everybody has to share. I'm a talker. Mm-mm, you don't have to share. And you may think things will be different for you. Maybe. But there is a place that you can come to. And the primary purpose of all of us is to put our hand in your hand, and hopefully we'll all be on this happy road of recovery. So now I can say I'm happy, joyous, and free. And each and every time I meet someone or I get a little shaky, my higher power lets me know I wouldn't have met all of you if I didn't do service. Service is real important to me. Did I want to do service? I swore a year before I was never going to either be on a committee or anything of that nature. Higher power said, mm-hmm, okay, you trying to get control again. So I receive a call. First, I receive an email, and some of you who may get to know me know that you have to follow up emails, because there's a part of Carol that still wants to do Carol's thing. And I may not address the email right away. And the person knew then, Carol's going to say no. So I'm going to call her up. And it was like, I thought I told you and the whole world, don't call me to do service. I do a lot of service. And what higher power told me was, you forgetting about the primary purpose, aren't you? Getting back to tradition 5. It's to spread the message to those who still suffer. It doesn't make any difference on how old you are or how young you are or what color you are or what religion you are. Most of us still suffer from that primary condition. We can call it whatever. For me, I'm a compulsive overeater, but I only like certain foods. Now, can you imagine that? But I have done things. I have raced out in the middle of the night to a fast food, and I don't do fast food because the illness got a hold of me. This is before I struck abstinence. I used to race down the highway. I've always been a sociable person. And so I would race down the highway from visiting friends at 2 o'clock in the morning, walking on a cane so I could get my drug of choice. I won't mention foods here because every group is different. I didn't think that was insane. I went to an old timers meeting, AA, in Pennsylvania. And they looked at me like I had dropped from space. And I heard the speak and things that I was trying to do 90 days. And when the man said, tell me a little bit about you, Carol. And when I said what I had done, he said, you one of us. Because I could not control that. Who, number one, I'm 74 now, going into my 75th year. Raced down a highway, run it was a drugstore. In a bad neighborhood, to get their drug of choice, to get home before I get a call, are you all right? Did you get home safely? But I'm grateful for that group because that group brought me into OA. I had never heard of it. I wasn't aware of 12-step programs. And one of the people in the group, who's a therapist, gave me all this, how they're going to help me lose weight. And everything that he said, and he was going to reward. At the end of the week, if you've done this, that, such, and such, then you get a reward. I can give you the nutrition guide on a carrot. I think carrots might be all right to say. But the fact of what he was saying, I'm calculating. because number one, I didn't know I have an didn't know I had an illness. Two, didn't know about a program. And so three, I'm going to go along. When a friend also said, no, Carol, you are an addict. That didn't settle well with me. And you need to go to OA. OA is for you, and she does not suffer from the illness. And I am grateful today because that was 2006. I still didn't embrace OA, but I had never heard of it. So now after I had abstinence and I listened to my higher power and I've survived things I thought I never would survive. Like I said, I came from a close-knit family. I'm what they call the baby of the family. I don't know, although the baby now is 74. It was like to lose all in 1 year. And even though it was like, who's going to love Carol? And I find out that each and every day I have I meet new friends. Because once we meet one time, we become friends. So if in the world and I say, hey, Richard. Richard don't look at me all crazy and stuff. He say, hey, Carol. Okay. And that is the reason that Tradition 5 is so important. It's important because it gives us a place, it gives us a safe place that we do not lose that primary purpose. And the primary purpose is to help others who are still suffering. And the part that I do know about suffering, sometimes we don't even know it. We can spot it and got it, or we can see, hey, but it's either in our look, how we feel, what we say. And so you're suffering, okay, and may not know that you are suffering, but there is a place. And for me, because my eating is at the top, OA is for me. May not be for others, or they may have to go to another program. But at least in all the 12 steps, Tradition 5 is the same. The primary purpose. Never lose sight of that. And continue to keep coming back. Listen until you hear your message, then spread it to someone else. And with that, I pass, because I didn't even know, Joe, you were the timer. I thought Steph was.
Thank you, Carol.
Tell me what we do from here.
Thank you, Carol, so much for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us today. We will now be transitioning into a question and answer segment. I'd like to introduce Violet, who is our moderator for today.
Hi, everyone. My name's Violet. Thanks, Odinga. I'm a compulsive overeater and your moderator today. So please do continue to send your questions on Tradition 5 to me using the chat. Under, if you pull down on the chat, you'll see moderator Violet F. And feel free to send those to me and we'll try to get through as many questions as we can. We have about 15, 20 minutes for that. So thank you to everyone who sent in their questions, and a few of them I will have combined where there's some duplication. So first question, Carol, what about OA meetings that have a special focus, such as men's meetings, women's meetings, LGBTQ meetings, and some of the other special focus meetings? What's your experience of these special focus meetings and how they handle or live Tradition 5?
Okay, from my experience, in fact, I am also a member of what they now call special focus, although it has not, it started over 20 years ago before the term came about, and that's called Ebony OA. And the special focus was on African Americans. Now that has grown into other groups who have started for people of color, indigenous. I find that it's okay, long as we stick with the basics. And I will even tease what I call my Zoom babies, because you didn't do face-to-face, so you don't know the basics. But once we do that, there is room. What you want is a place that is safe for people to come to. Because you can't spread the message if there's no one there. So I might be a person of color who happens to, because of how I was grown up, to feel very comfortable, because part of my character defects is self-centered. But someone else that's a person of color with different experiences may not feel comfortable in being in certain OA rooms. And then you have those that are not aware that there is a difference and will make a statement that's completely crazy, but it is their belief. So there is room. We should open up rooms to, whether you want to call them special focus, whatever it is that you identify yourself with, but you do suffer from a common disease. No, you're welcome. Long as you're not threatening anyone.
Thanks, Carol. Just staying on that theme for a minute, you talked about primary purpose in terms of having an OA room where everyone feels safe, safe enough to go to. So what's your experience of the primary purpose in a group conscience or business meeting where there are differing opinions?
Like I said, with what I call Zoom babies, what I had to learn early on in OA, I didn't believe in group conscience. It's like, I'm going to take my marbles and go home or go to another meeting. I don't need you. But that's not what it said in the principles and the purpose. And so what I find, if we're honest with ourselves, if we try to grow, I was at a recovery assembly for my region. And afterwards, someone was saying about the reason that there were no Black people in the rooms. Caught my attention. Second, she said, well, maybe they're afraid. So I had to expound on the fact of programs that were out there. She wasn't aware. And she became enlightened. And then that changed my viewpoint. I said, we have to be with each other in order to know each other. And so what I've learned is, even in group conscious, I just had an experience that I was able to expound on, because one member of my particular group wanted to do things a certain way, but she was so emotional about it. I said, oh, so I had an opportunity, because we just came off of the World Convention, to ask someone about that. And he said, Carol, don't you know about digital? I said, no, I don't know about digital. He said, you can get all the literature through Amazon. I can say Amazon because we have an agreement with them in OA. I didn't know that. I learned something. Then I read the steps ahead. And so when I went back to a meeting they had voted on, I had a whole different opinion. We all could embrace, and it's not majority, but we learn. And that's what the group conscious does for me. It's like, hey, the group conscious might have came one way today. Three meetings later, it could be changed once everyone embraces and know. It's not a popularity. I hope I answered your question, because I kind of deviated a little bit.
Thanks, Carol. I have a question. How do you know when you are doing too much service? How does Tradition 5 help with discerning our personal service commitments?
Well, in fact, I had just gone through that. Sometimes I think that I can do all things, even though I believe in the rotating of service. But if I'm in a meeting and no one steps up and I have the time, I'm retired, I usually raise my hand. That's not a good thing. So my higher power pretty much dictates. And the one thing in the honesty, as I talked it over with my sponsor, and she said, well, you can tell them I said. Anyone who knows me knows that's not going to fly. That's a lie. Because I'm not even going to ask her about my time. I'm going to make it work. And so, listening to my higher power, and my higher power speaks in a lot of different languages. Some of you may not even approve. You're doing too much. You need to step back. And it's all right to say that. Help someone else on their road by helping them do their service. It's not all about you, Carol. It's about spreading the message. Does that answer, or did I deviate?
That's great, Carol. We had a couple of questions around this, because you talked about surrender and primary purpose in terms of trusting God, and you used your 1971 diving board example. What could you talk a little bit more about that process of deepening of trusting God in the context of Tradition 5?
Okay, for me, and sometimes my sponsor says I should not say that God talks to me. I'm not a Southerner, and there's a whole different religion in the South versus someone that came from Pennsylvania in New York. It's just how it is. Right now, it seems like the whole country, the whole world is into that. 71, I was young. I was still partying. Well, I started, didn't really stop partying until partying is drinking and just having fun. But I was, which is a term I've learned now, a believer. But did I, I've been in several religions. Did I go to church on Sunday? I told someone I belong to the church of the NFL. That's the National Football League. But there was something there. And as I learned and listening to others, you're a part of my God. And that is why I keep coming back to meetings. I say I'm not going to come back, go back to. I still do some service. I'm acceptance, because the primary purpose is to spread the message to those who still suffer. And if I say I'm healed, I'm on that slippery slope. And one thing that I've learned, okay, I don't stick my shoulders out as being overly religious, because I have a group of friends that are. And they'll send me a text at 5:30 in the morning. First thing I said, I'm retired. I don't have a I talk to my sponsor at 6:30. I get up at 6:25 to talk to her. 5:30 in the morning, I'm not that prayer and love and all of that. But what my higher power said, turn your phone off. That way you don't hear that ting, ting, ting. So that is how I am now, that there is a God in everything and in everyone. And I accept and embrace that.
Thanks, Carol. We have time for one more question. But I have a lot more questions than that. But I'll just go to the next one, and then we'll move on to tradition six. So what's your thinking or experience, strength, and hope about fellows talking about other addictions in OA meetings in the context of tradition five and our primary purpose?
That is a very good question. I know that when we have recovery conventions here in my region, I'm in region eight, we give them a disclaimer beforehand of not, if they're too had or not saying, sharing more so about their other addiction. So my viewpoint is, there is, which I've found out in the last couple of years, a 12-step program for anything that you thought that ails you from either something like a drug or alcohol, food, sex, gambling. There's a 12-step because of the fact you procrastinate. I said, whoever heard of such a thing, but I'm learning. It's a 12-step for cluttering and decluttering. And I said, oh, so what I find your room, find your people. And when I define people, those who have the same or suffer from what you are suffering from. Put everything else at the top of the list. I have no clue, even though I have a substance abuser in the family, what one goes through in that lifestyle. I know what I go through and I can sympathize, but food is number one for me. I did 90 meetings in 90 days and even kept quiet at some, I'm confessing now, that I knew was closed meetings, but I was trying to get 90 in. Did I have an understanding? No. Was I one of them? You could say because we are in 12-step programs. So my thing is find the meeting that you have to talk about that particular ailment. And then when you move to another meeting that's about a particular thing, that's what you bring to the surface. That's what you talk about. Or just open up your ears and listen. That's why we have two ears and one mouth.
Thanks, Carol. It's now time to wind up our tradition five portion. Please do start sending me your tradition six questions in the chat. I'm under moderator Violet F. And I'm going to hand the meeting back to the chairperson, Odinga.
Thank you, Violet. We will now be moving on to tradition six. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Welcome back, Carol.
Well, thank you for still tolerating me. And as we know, tradition six, and this is a big one, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lets problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. And I'm going to break that down into two, because the traditions also helps me in working the steps. And I'll start off with this particular tradition about primary purpose between my sponsor and I. My sponsor and I have been together now 8 years. God brought us together. I never would have thought she would have been my sponsor. I never would have asked her. I didn't know her. But God brought us together at a recovery convention. And it was later on, I said, oh, well, let me give her a call just to see. And I knew we were different. But I learned something. We have been together, I guess, maybe five and a half, almost 6 years. And why this tradition stands out for me, my sponsor and I are as different as night and day. She's been in the program. Our thoughts are different on outside issues. And even though our thoughts are different on outside issues, and we've been there, she's been there for me and has taught me a lot about OA. When I concentrate on the outside issues, or she concentrates on an outside issue, we're human, it gets that way. Before we had the pandemic, we had political things in this country. Different. And before we knew it, I had some resentments. Before she knew it, she had some resentments because we had forgotten what the primary purpose was. So she had to go to her sponsor, and considering she'd been in OA about 30, almost 40 years, you can imagine. I didn't go to a sponsor. I sent it up to my higher power, and my higher power says, you're forgetting one thing, Carol. You don't have control over people, places, and things. So that brought me back to, we have a different, we're still together, but we write. So no matter what else is going on in the country or the world, we don't discuss it. So we have a different relationship. Now, getting back to the group, I have done service in my area for about three or four different conventions, regional conventions. And so we have different people that are now in the roles of chair, vice chair, and all of that nature. And see, what I forget is, it makes no difference on the service or because of the service, the amount of monies that have gotten into the treasury. It's about spreading the message. So when you get someone with different ideas, Carol, it's not your money. You hope, even though you were there when there were no monies, you hope that there are some monies in the treasury to spread the message. So I had to look at my character defect. I had to look at, because there was one thing that I saw, I don't know if it was in the AA or in the OA, about keeping it simple. And what I've found through the years, when we allow outside to come inside, we forget about the purpose. If you are a therapist and you think that you know because you've helped some people, my question is, why are you here? Are you a compulsive overeater, or are you trying to develop relationships to get clients? I speak up now. When I get an email from someone and it's on their business, I do what I call a gentle reminder. Are you trying to get me as a client, or to get others as a client? Or did you forget and you are advertising your business? So what I find that happens in this particular tradition, as long as we keep it simple, as long as we don't go into what I call outside opinions, as long as we really step up and speak up so that you don't have what I call outside enterprises coming in the fold, then you can concentrate on the primary message. So my thing is to really look to speak up. And sometimes that does take courage. But when you have, I said, kind of trust your instinct. I know I trust mine. Some people don't trust theirs. But I find that you have to take a look at before you do a judgment of what's going on with that other person. What are they attempting to do? Their heart might be in the right place, but the procedures is not really warranted in a room of compulsive overeaters spreading the message. We have a format. Follow the format, and therefore you don't get into opinions that could be really not with keeping within the message. It may be the message, but it's also your opinion. So in order for us not to feel a certain way, think it should be done a certain way, or even with treasures, that look at it as you did your service. I did my service. I hope they spread the message. I'll keep coming back. I'll voice my opinion. I don't have any control over that. And once I realize that, it's like, okay, do I like it? A lot of times, no. But I have to take a look at what's going on with Carol. Or if people get into groups. And you say, hey, but they lost sight of the message. See, I don't want to be right. I'm one of those that I can remember how I felt before. And it's such a difference on how I'm feeling now. I'm not saying I'm happy, joyous, and free every day, because that would be pure insanity. I'm not saying that some of my other character defects don't crop up. That would be insanity too. But I have a safe place to go to, and I don't have to worry about you either trying to convince me why I should think this way, why I should donate this way, or such and such. That way you don't disturb my peace, and you hear me say my, but in a way you don't disturb our peace. So I'm a firm believer that whatever it is that I shouldn't say selling, because that may be your belief, it is not the place in a room full of people who are suffering or who have suffered and vulnerable. And if you know me, and if you knew me as a child, I was the one, even though I was short, if someone was picking on you, call Carol, because she's going to come to your rescue. Even though it may look like she shouldn't be in this fight. Just tell me that they're doing you wrong. I had to learn from that. So I still take that part of me now, because this is so important that I don't have to go, or we don't have to go into a room, that we're here for one, and we're vulnerable, for one primary message, and someone is telling you about the new health club or the new diet or the new therapist or whatever that has helped them. Or it could be their business. So that's how I feel about tradition six.
Thank you, Adinga. Can you do the reading from there? Thanks, Carol.
All right.
Thank you again so much, Carol, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us today. We will now be moving into a question and answer segment. Welcome back to our moderator, who will be leading that. Thank you, Violet.
Thanks, Adinga. Thank you to everyone who's been sending me questions in the chat, and please keep them coming in. We'll try to get through as many questions as we can today. Thanks. Thank you, Carol, for your share. So you talked about your experience doing service as co-chair for the regional conventions. The OA Virtual Region Convention that just happened comes to mind. Can you talk a little bit more about traditions five and six? How they helped you in that role and dealing with service.
Okay. In being very honest about stepping into that role, the person who asked me knew my background because our regional assemblies every 3 years, and I have been doing it ever since 2009, so I pretty much knows how that works. But the human part comes, and the spreading the message. And what I find in meetings that I go to, no matter anywhere in the world, there's less representation of people of color. And what I found in, even though our special focus meetings, as you call, are very strongly attended, there are those where in Ebony it's open to everyone, no matter what color we do with the diversity. There are other meetings that I've gone to where they call it closed. And as I said to them, there are no closed meetings in OA. But we do have to find a solution. So what I found in doing the region, how the World Convention was not to lose sight of the primary purpose. And the primary purpose was to spread the message to those who are still suffering, no matter where they are. So once that was at the forefront, the other traditions and steps helped me too, because one can get, forget about humility, can forget about step seven, and that step seven prayer really helps me out of the big book, because one can think that if you're serving in a certain role, that it's about you. And it's not. It's about the group. It is the fellowship. It is those that are, we help each other. So keeping all that out front helps me in my role of service as for Tradition 5, helps me in Tradition 6. I happened to go into my email and saw part of the treasurer report, and the first thing that came to mind for me was they're not making much money for a whirl, because in my past life, as a contracting officer, I had a $7 billion responsibility. So I know about how money should go. And I said, oh, but that's not it. The primary purpose is to spread the message to those who still suffer, that there is a solution. So that is what keeps, when I keep tradition five, what our purpose is, when I keep tradition six, we're not here to make money. That keeps me grounded.
Thanks, Carol. You talked about tradition six and potential conflicts of interest, advertising our business to OA fellows, what you refer to as outside enterprises, and how speaking up takes courage. The question is, what's your experience, strength, and hope if you do speak up and the person doesn't stop when you ask?
Well, as the latest term saying, that's a very interesting question. I used to go to the beach, to be honest with you, and my higher power kind of spoke and said, Carol, you need to stop going to the beach. Listen, and then sometimes I go back. When I say go to the beach, if I'm in a meeting, and I could be running a meeting, and no one wants to pay attention to what I'm saying and fluff me off, I used to get very upset about that. And what I learned, because it still takes me back to step three out of the big book this time, I don't have control over people, places, and things. I can say what I feel. I can say what I know. I can bring you all kinds of data to support that. But I don't have a control whether you accept it or not. So I'm going to be honest. I go to the beach. I love the water. I swim now. I do Zumba in the pool. It's like, okay, I can either get upset or I can let you have it. Because what I think is the truth may not even be the truth. So that's how I handle it. I'm part of me is was acting. And what I've learned is no matter what we are thinking and we think it doesn't show up in our bodies and our faces, it does. And if I don't want, I learned that in business. I don't want you to know exactly what's going on in my mind, then I have to replace it with something. But I'm going to pray for the courage first. Then I go to the beach.
Thank you, Carol. This is sort of along the same lines. Bill wrote the traditions. This is the questioner who mentions this in 1946, just after World War II ended. And the question is, with everything that is going on in the outside world today, how do you stand up for what you feel is right, yet keep the traditions respecting outside issues and primary purpose?
For me, like I said early on, between my sponsor and I, my sponsor is older. My sponsor lives in another southern town, and she has certain viewpoints. Even when I told her, this is how I feel about certain viewpoints. And so what I find is have to let it go, because so much is happening in the world, even though I would say I'm a compassionate person. You may say differently. I may say that whatever floats your boat, you may think differently. But what I find, bottom line, is I can't change folks. How I feel is how I feel if I do to say to you. And it may not be popular, or I'm looking at it from a different point of view. So what I usually do now is I'll speak what I have to speak for Carol, and then I let it go, because everyone has an opinion. I may not have answered that question good, because as old folks.
Thanks, Carol.
It's not quick.
Thanks, Carol. The next question is around trust. I trust God with food and abstinence and most things in my life, but there is one area that concerns family members that I don't trust God fully. Fear is taking over. How would you deal, or what's your experience with that using traditions 5 and 6?
I am still one of those that are still suffering, even though I'm abstinent, because I'm not healed. And I've learned to say living in the solution. I'm saying that because I have a nephew. We were all brought up together. That's a substance abuser. The sad part is he's been on drugs for 45 years. He's no different today than he was when he was 1964. What I have learned, though, is I turn it over to my higher power. I don't pray on it every day, because I had some friends that taught me scriptures or taught me where to look and say, well, you don't believe God can change things if you pray for the same thing over and over and over. You got to wait a minute. And so I don't understand it. So my thing is for my nieces and nephews, I have no children, to get along. And part of me was a fear, and it's still in there a little bit, that I may never live to see him get off of drugs, or it may be a different alternative. Even when I tried to help him a couple of years ago, and I found out it was interfering with my recovery, I said, oh no, I got to stop this. So what I do is, in developing that trust, and one has to work on it. I won't say I have friends that are in various religions, and they help me on this path. Just my primary is OA, but there are others that help me that look at it differently. And so, seeing as I'm inquisitive, it's like, okay. So, and fear for me, I just said that to my sponsor this morning, is an emotion that I embrace sometimes, because of the fact it has brought, is it because of fear that may bring me through, and I don't realize it. So hopefully that answers the question. Trust is something that you have to develop. And there are times when I'm not trusting in my higher power. It's like, well, if you say so, but I really don't agree with you. Higher power says you're not supposed to agree.
Thanks, Carol. The next question, how do you deal with the fact that the Big Book is so outdated in regard to people of color and women?
Hmm. My question would be, the primary is there. So how is it outdated as far as people of color or women? Yeah, back in those days in 1939, 46 or 45, we don't even have to go back that far. We can go back a couple of years ago of how they view women. We can, this is the March is the Women's Month, but all glass ceilings aren't broken. So if we follow what I call the basics, if we live as the steps and the principles intended us to do, then we would look at things differently. But to say if we did that, it would apply to all. Because if you do your research, I mean, yeah, I know there's a story in the big book on the first member of color, a guy that wrote his story and stuff. And then, but if you go by what I call the basics, if you work the steps according to how the programs are set up, if you live life according to the principles, nowhere can you say, how does that apply today to people of color and or women?
Thanks, Carol. So next question. When you ask yourself, this is posed from the perspective of the questioner, when you ask yourself the question, what is my primary purpose today while doing meditation or prayer? Have you ever experienced no answer or found yourself in self-loathing? And if so, what's your experience, strength, and hope about what you've done in those times? And if you related to the tools or the traditions or not?
Okay, two parts. If you know Carol, you know Carol loves Carol. I just can't help it. Even when I was suffering, I loved Carol, so I thought. The other part to that question is I don't get an answer every day. And in my higher power talking to me, it's like I had to learn, and it wasn't early on program, and it wasn't early and absent, to turn my food over to my higher power, who I happen to call God. It was like, you're too busy, or it's too much stuff going on in the world that you can deal with food or my food. I'm all right. What I've learned, as my higher power talks to me, as long as I have the meditation of turning, I may not know what I'm going to eat today. It's going to be abstinent, but turning those meals over, then fine. I have no cravings. I'm getting triggers. One day is just the same as the other. The minute that I don't do that, I can be in a store and you could be buying something that really didn't trigger me before. And I'm looking at what you have and it's like, oh, I got to get that. Or, and then if I get something, it's like, oh, now I've got a pinch on it because I weigh and measure, and it may not be a sugar or white flour, but if I eat too much of it, it's going to be really crazy. And so I'll say to my higher power, well, where were you? And my higher power says, you didn't ask me. So we have a deal. I'm going to ask you. You're going to keep me straight. I've learned that. And you give me You already gave me the ability. You give me the willingness. And it may not work out in other ways, because like I said, I'm still praying just differently. I'm going to be honest with you, just differently for my nieces and nephews, because it's like, I love them, as I said, I mean, but I don't control them. Do I see a happy ending? Who am I? That's the sad part. So you just have to kind of wait on it and hope for the best.
Thanks, Carol. Next question. Would you see the topic of therapy, outside help, being discussed in an OA meeting as inappropriate in light of tradition six?
Could you repeat that question for me, Violet?
Of course. Would you see the topic of therapy or outside help that's mentioned in the big book as inappropriate to be talking about in an OA meeting?
Well, I am, for me, as long as one does not go into details about their therapy, as long as one does not either endorse or approve of their particular therapist, it is all right for me to say, I go to a therapist. I went to a therapist for 2.5 years. She became my friend. Good thing she was cheap. Because at that particular time, I didn't even know. She was the one who told me about OA, but I didn't believe her at the time. And so it was like, I don't find that there's a problem with that. I find the problem is when we put a stigma on anything. Don't say that. Can't say this. Don't think this. Don't think that. Now you have compounded your problem that you may have with food.
Thanks, Carol. And I think this will be our last question. Wondered if you could speak about your experience, strength, and hope around the concept of your primary purpose that's mentioned in traditions 5 and 6 when it comes to our relationships outside of OA.
Well, for me, most of my friends or inner circle know I go to OA, but what I find in doing what I call doing my work. And I say to everyone, you got to do your own work. Part of it may be OA. Other parts might be other things that you really need to take a look at. You need to peel back the layers and see exactly what makes you tick. So what I find in relationships is when people say, you always sound happy and full of life. Most of the time I am. But there are times, you know, in this world, you're not going to be happy every day. You're not going to feel good. I now know what my mom, she passed at 97, when she said, you don't know how you're going to feel till you wake up that day. Because there are days when I just don't feel like it. But what I've learned is if I'm constantly, and I don't even call it improvement anymore. I used to call it improvement before I thoroughly understood that one just wants to be peace. And you can take that over to your other parts of your life and honestly take a look at what's going on with you. Because what you're aiming for is that that happiness, that joyous, that peace, that serenity. So I don't know if I answered the question.
Thanks, Carol. Thank you so much. So our Q&A time has come to an end. I just want to thank everyone for your questions and to Carol for sharing her time and wisdom with us today. And I will hand the meeting back to our chairperson, Odinga.
Thank you. A reminder that at Design for Living, Big Book OA is a daily meeting. We are based out of Melbourne, Australia, 6:30 a.m. start Monday to Friday, and 7:30 a.m. start Saturday and Sunday. Please check out our website for more information on the time zones, www.ad4l.info. Our next monthly speaker series will be held on the 10th of April, Tradition 7 and 8. We hope to see you there. In closing, I would like to thank you all for your service and coming here today. By following the 12 steps, attending meetings regularly, and using the OA tools, we are changing our lives. You will find hope and encouragement in Overeaters Anonymous. To the newcomer, we suggest attending at least 6 different meetings to learn the many ways OA can help you. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Please remember our commitment to honor each other's anonymity. What you hear here, whom you see here, when you leave here, let it stay here. Let us all reach out by phone or email to newcomers, returning members, and each other. Together, we get better. To close the meeting, will Anna Maria please unmute and read the promises.
The promises. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them.